Hello, movie fans. I'm Lily Percy, and I'll be your guide this week as I talk with lawyer Michael Strautmanis about the movie that changed his life, The Wiz. It's okay if you've never seen the movie. We're going to give you all the details you'll need to be singing and dancing along in no time. The Wiz is a movie that I had actually never seen until I talked with our guest this week, Michael Strautmanis. It's a movie that I knew starred Diana Ross and Michael Jackson, and that was kind of it. I had no idea what it was about, aside from being some sort of modern retelling of the Wizard of Oz story. But watching it was a revelation, not just because of the music, which is fabulous, and you're going to hear that all throughout this conversation, but also in the way that the movie just takes this story, this familiar story of Dorothy and Toto and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and the Cowardly Lion, and makes it so cool.
Say, what's your name?
My name is Dorothy.
Dorothy and Toto. Okay, Dorothy and Toto, seems like we're going to have to find our own yellow brick road.
He's on down. He's on.
Down the road!
Oh, there it is!
Ta-da! Woo! Come on, Dorothy! Come on!
The Wiz tells the story of Dorothy, played by Diana Ross. And this time, she's an older version of Dorothy than we see in The Wizard of Oz. She's a 24-year-old Harlem schoolteacher, and the movie begins with Dorothy's family home, where everyone is celebrating for Thanksgiving. Dorothy and her Aunt Em are cleaning up after dinner, and her aunt is teasing Dorothy because she's never been outside of Harlem. She's never left the place that she grew up in. And as we see her go outside to take out the trash, Toto runs out in the middle of a very violent storm, and they're suddenly transported to a faraway place.
Girl, do you know you're 24 years old and you've never been south of 125th Street? Well, you haven't!
I can't see how going south of 125th Street ever made anybody's life better.
And you're never gonna know unless you try. Are you?
I know getting out in that world ain't easy, but we'll always be here for you, Dorothy. And whatever your fears are,
well, they'll be defeated just by facing up to them.
Now, you take that new job and find a place for you and Toto.
It's time for you to make a home of your own.
Toto! 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 Toto!
As a movie lover, I'd heard about The Wiz before, but I'd kind of avoided it because I'd always heard that it was a disaster of a movie. I'd heard that it didn't do well at the box office. I'd heard that it's kind of a mess and that the songs weren't good and all of these things that once I watched it are completely untrue. The movie is truly magical. You might think you're familiar with the original Wizard of Oz story, but you're going to learn new things about each of these characters and see all of them in a light that I found way more relatable as someone who grew up in the city as opposed to a farm.
I'm in a little bit of a squeeze, brother. Can you give me a hand?
Oh, how terrible. I'm so sorry.
No apology necessary. I told you nothing hurts me. I have no feelings. The genius who created me only took care of my dashing good looks, my razor-sharp wit, and my irresistible attraction to the wrong women. What he forgot to add was a heart.
How does that feel?
But that's the whole tragic point, my friends. What would I do if I could suddenly feel and to know once again that what I feel is real? I could cry.
I could smile.
When Michael Strautmanis saw The Wiz for the first time in the movie theaters, he was blown away by what he was seeing on screen. As a young black boy growing up in the south side of Chicago, he'd never watched all of his icons, all of his celebrities on screen in this way. And it was the first time he really felt that he'd been seen.
What would I do?
So I want to take you back in time to that key moment of when you first saw The Wiz, which I have to thank you for, because I've actually never seen it. And in preparing to interview you, I watched it for the first time.
There and you go. You're welcome.
I know. Seriously, thank you.
What a movie.
But so think back to the first time that you saw The Wiz and, you know, just how old you were and where you were, who you were with, all these kind of memories that come to mind. And yeah. I just want you to reflect on that for 10 seconds in silence. And I'm going to interrupt you when the 10 seconds are up.
Okay.
So what memories came to your mind then?
You know, I saw The Wiz when I was about 9 or 10 years old. And, you know, going to the movies then was, it was a big deal. It didn't happen that often. And so it was always just an exciting thing just to go to the show. That's mm-hmm. what you call it in the black community in Chicago. You're going to the show. So I remember sitting in that theater and just being completely overwhelmed with really everything that I saw. I mean, The Wiz, it's a big movie,
yeah.
right, in that sense. You know,
it is ambitious.
It's ambitious. It was expensive
mm-hmm.
at the time. I didn't realize that as a 10-year-old, but
I was going to say, you were a Hollywood movie producer.
Right, exactly. Like, wow, how'd they get the budget for that? But I do remember big songs, big emotions, big stars, Michael Jackson, of all things. I have to say, I remember the colors more than anything, just these vivid splashes of gold and red and green. You know, there's even that scene, which I remember so well, where they're in the Emerald City.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like there's, you know, there was always this magazine in our home, Ebony Magazine, right, was like the told the story of the African American community. There was one in every home, and it always had a fashion section called Fashion Fair. And I think that The Wiz and that scene in Emerald City, it like leapt off the pages of Ebony's Fashion Fair onto the screen, right? the LeMay jumpsuits and the big afros and the scarves and the heels, and it was just glorious. So that's really what comes to mind, what I remember.
Where's NM? Where's New York?
New York!
433 Prospect Place.
Ooh, 433. You want to play more than one number today, honey? I got a Freedom Special,
no.
Three numbers for the price of one.
I don't want to play any numbers. I just want to get home.
Oh, well, now that old Ever means numbers up, the odds are only The Wiz could cipher how to get you back to witches of that place was.
The Wiz? What's a Wiz?
What's a Wiz? Oh, darling, he's the ultimate.
Yeah!
The head honcho. Bottom line, honey. Numero uno.
Where is he? How do I find him?
Catch this number, honey.
Sweet thing, let me tell you about the world and the way things are right. You've come from a different place, and I know you've traveled far right.
Watching it for the first time, I mean, I was struck, first of all, with how perfect it begins, right? It begins with a Thanksgiving dinner where everyone's coming together. And what a beautiful way to introduce this whole story. In a lot of ways, it felt a lot more familiar to me than the way The Wizard of Oz actually begins with Dorothy, the old version. Yeah, this one just felt like home. It feels like you're establishing who this person is, who this Dorothy is, and you really get a sense of her, you know, in this Diana Ross character. And the other thing that really just blew me away was blackness. I mean, every actor is black, and it's amazing.
It's peak blackness, and I know people say that these days. In the era of Black Panther, you know, it's hard to remember that we've been here before.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was 10, so I wasn't going to go see Shaft or Superfly.
But, yeah.
But I could go see The Wiz. Yeah. And, you know, it's Motown, it's Berry Gordy, it's Michael Jackson, it's Diana Ross. Every actor, as you said, in that movie is black. And, you know, when I was a kid, and even as I've seen the movie over the years, it really is so much about that Thanksgiving dinner that the movie begins with, because mm-hmm. it just does feel comfortable.
Yeah.
It does feel like home, you know, and it was so much of what life was like then. That's what our Thanksgiving dinners were like. Every family member is represented in there. You know, there's like the young kids, the new baby, the old folks playing checkers and arguing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's that black experience that I remember and that, you know, I would never see on TV or in the movies. And so to go to the movies and just to see yourself and your life mm-hmm. reflected on screen, I just think it happens too rarely, and particularly then it happened too rarely for black folks. And so when it happened, it was big.
Yeah, and it's multifaceted. I think one of the kind of negative stereotypes, and I think they're actually wrong about this movie, is that it's kind of a disaster. This is what I kept reading in reviews about it. And I don't know what movie they were watching, because, you know, from the very beginning, we're introduced to Dorothy actually as a really lonely school teacher who's really searching for her identity. You get a real sense of that in the opening sequence when Diana Ross sings that song by herself in her kitchen, that she feels different from everyone else in her family. And I gotta say, that struck me in a way that it never did watching the original Judy Garland version. I didn't get a sense of her as this kind of fragile woman.
What am I afraid of? Don't know what I'm made of. Can I go on not knowing? Feeling.
This is the final week of This Movie Changed Me's second season, but we're already busy producing our next. To stay in touch with us, subscribe to our newsletter at onbeing.org/TMCM letter. You'll be the first to know when our new season launches. Something too, as we were talking about earlier, being seen. I think about growing up, we used to watch I Love Lucy, and that was like our mm-hmm. only point of reference when we moved to this country for like a Hispanic on television was Ricky Ricardo.
Right.
And like we all felt, we're not Cuban, we're Colombian, but we all felt like, oh, like he's one of us. And I can't even imagine what it must have done for you as a kid growing up in Chicago to see these remarkable entertainers who were black just like you and had this success, and you could see them on screen. I just wonder if you're conscious of how you even internalized that as a young kid.
Oh, sure. No, I mean, well, it was pretty straightforward for me. I wanted to be an actor. I was in all the plays. I was kind of always in trouble, and my mom in particular saw that sending me into theater and giving me an outlet to perform was a way to take that energy and that desire to be seen and turn it towards something productive. And so, you know, for me, it was deeply affirming. It was like, that's who I want to be. That's what I want to do.
Hmm.
And so those movies that are important in your life, you know, they give you a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, this movie just gives me that feeling that I can do anything. Tremendous optimism. I am often accused of not ever even seeing the glass being half empty. It always looks pretty full to me.
Yeah, which has to have come in handy in working in politics, I have to imagine.
That's exactly right. It definitely keeps you going. But yeah, that The Wiz really, it speaks to that sense of belonging, that sense of identity, that affirmation, and that joy. You know, it sparkles.
If we're gonna be buddies, you better bone up on the rules, 'cause don't nobody bring me no bad news. You can't be my best of friends as opposed to paying dues, but don't nobody bring me no bad news. Well, no bad news. No bad news. No bad news.
Well, one of my favorite scenes in the movie actually comes toward the end when, you know, the Scarecrow and the Lion and the Tin Man, they've all realized, you know, that they had everything they needed all along. And, like, Diana Ross is talking to Richard Pryor, who plays the Wiz. I was like, oh, my God, Richard Pryor?
Come on.
I know.
When Richard Pryor's, when he, like, you see his big eyes come up.
Crying,
from,
and he's crying at the end. I was like, oh, my God.
There's a lot of crying. Although there's, I talked about joy and it's sparkling. Mm-hmm. There's a super amount of crying in The Wiz.
Like, yeah, and a lot of
Tin Man makes people well from
crying. Oh, yeah, for sure. But he has a really thoughtful sequence with her where he says to her, you know, because he's looking at these three characters, the Scarecrow, the Lion, and the Tin Man, and they've been healed in many ways. And so he's like, can you do something for me? And
yes.
She has that great speech where she said that they've had what they've been searching for in them all along. I don't know what's in you. You'll have to find that out for yourself. But I do know one thing. You'll never find it in the safety of this room. I tried that all my life. It doesn't work. There's a whole world out there, and you'll have to begin by letting people see who you really are. Oh, that killed me.
I mean, it really was beautiful. And I also think, you know, there's something that whole arc evokes in the Black community. You know, there are a lot of folks in my family who I grew up with on the South Side of Chicago who have never left the South Side of Chicago because, you know, as we've seen in viral videos and our news screens, the world can be a really dangerous place.
Yeah.
And there's so much about neighborhoods like Harlem, other places where there's such a rich, vibrant African-American community that you just feel safe. And, you know, I remember mom kind of said, you know, you've never been south of 125th Street. And there are people who grow up in the South Side of Chicago and never been downtown, never been to the lakefront. And I think that part of what this movie is saying and part of what I think they found in the story of The Wizard of Oz and in Dorothy is this sense of, you know, there's a bigger world out there and it needs to see you. And that there's more out there for you than what's around. And by the way, you can always come home.
Exactly.
Right? And Aunt Em said that to her, right? Me and your uncle, we're going to be here for you.
Exactly.
And that's, I think, a really important thing for everyone to know, particularly a little 10-year-old kid.
That's amazing, Michael. I never thought about the fact that they set this in Harlem, probably to dispel that notion. I mean, people were afraid of Harlem at the time.
Yeah.
And yet this is her home.
Yeah, it is. And you can tell that, you know, during parts of it, it's kind of gritty, right?
Yeah, it's definitely urban. You know, it's old school New York, not current New York.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah. And so all that stuff, you know, it was just, it's real. And it was real to me then. It's real to me now. And I think it just speaks to both, you know, the reality of that, but also just the talent and the joy and to see, you know, I mean, just the lineup, you know, Nipsey Russell, Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, Richard Pryor, Lena Horne.
Lena Horne as
Lena.
I know.
Horne.
Oh, my God.
Hello, Darth. Please, is there a way for me to get home? Well, Dorothy, you were wise and good enough to help your friends find what was inside them all the time. That's true for you also. Home? Inside me? I don't understand. Home is a place we all must find, child. It's not just a place where you eat or sleep. Home is knowing. Knowing your mind. Knowing your heart. Knowing your courage. If we know ourselves, we're always home. Anyway. If you believe within your heart, you know that no one can change.
So how has this movie changed for you as you've gotten older? I mean, you just said you've watched it like a million times. How has it changed for you every time that you watch it? Do you find yourself getting something new from it as you've gotten older?
Yeah, a couple things. I think one, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, but it's just, it's nice to see these great artists showcased and allowed to do their thing. You think about Nipsey Russell, for example, somebody who obviously had a tremendous career on the stage in film and TV. And, you know, he gets to, like, chew up some scenery, right?
Yeah.
He gets to dance. He gets to do his thing. And he gets to slide some oil. I can see them really enjoying themselves and giving it their all. I mean, Diana Ross, the ultimate diva, and I say that in the most positive, glorious way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be able to, like, sing and dance and act and just have this be her movie. And so now I just enjoy these performances and enjoy seeing these great performers be able to express themselves and do their thing. I think the other thing I see is in this movie now is just more of the longing.
Hmm.
I didn't really pick up on that when I was younger, but mm-hmm. there's, you know, all these characters are really longing for something and are alone until they find each other.
Yeah.
There are these bits, right, where, you know, they find each other and they either rescue each other or they become companions in some other way. And just this sense of, oh, you know, there's somebody, and even the... when Diana Ross asked Scarecrow to come with her on this journey, she says, you know, Toto and I could sure use some company.
Yeah.
And you realize, you know, she's alone in this place, and now mm-hmm. she's found this companion to go on this journey with her. So I really noted that.
Yeah. They're all longing to be better, right? Only to discover at the end that wonderful lesson of you already had what you needed with you.
Yeah.
Dorothy, can you do something for me?
They've had what they've been searching for in them all along. I don't know what's in you. You'll have to find that out for yourself. But I do know one thing. You'll never find it in the safety of this room. I tried that all my life. It doesn't work. There's a whole world out there. And you'll have to begin by letting people see who you really are. I'm ready now.
Think of home.
Home.
Michael Strautmanis is a lawyer and the chief engagement officer at the Obama Foundation. In addition to being very charming and one of the tallest people I've ever met, Michael has served in both the Obama and Clinton administrations, and at one time even worked for Walt Disney, where he specialized in corporate citizenship. Motown Productions and Universal Pictures produced The Wiz, and the clips you heard in this episode are credited to them. The soundtrack is from Motown and MCA Records and was mostly produced by none other than Quincy Jones himself, which explains why the music is pure magic.
Cause there's a reason to rejoice, you see.
Everybody come out, listen,
everybody look up. The team behind This Movie Changed Me is
Maya Tarrell,
Chris Hegel,
Tony Liu,
Kristen Lin,
and Lillian Vo.
This podcast is produced by On Being Studios, which is located on Dakota land. We also produce other podcasts you might enjoy, like On Being with Krista Tippett and Becoming Wise. Find those wherever you like to listen, or visit us at onbeing.org to find out more. I'm Lily Percy. Thanks for listening to our second season. I can't wait to discover more movies together.
This podcast is produced by On Being Studios in Minneapolis, Minnesota.